This is J.J. Dillon, the leader of the original Four Horsemen, and you're listening to Phil J. and that pain in the ass, choppy on the turnbuckle throwbacks.
What this network needs, this network gets. I promise you that.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the main event of the evening.
Broadcasting live from Shaolin, Staten Island, New York City.
Freak Show Central.
Where's that?
New York City.
It's the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling.
I'm sorry, guys.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
I'm so sorry. I don't know what the fuck happened. I don't know.
Oh, I love the background, though. Background's back. No, it is what it is. Don't worry about it.
I'm fucking aggravated right now.
It's okay.
I don't know, whatever, man.
No, it's okay. You know what? You have every right to be upset. You know, we always think that we have everything all squared away. And, you know, shit happens. Shit happens sometimes. And you know what? Fuck it. The show's going to go on. I don't care. Let's do it, fellas.
All right. So, go ahead. So we're live again. I'm sorry.
So we're live.
Oh, we're live? All right, cool.
So we might as well just kind of like paraphrase and summarize what we were talking about before. Basically, we were just trying to talk about with all the state of professional wrestling with all these sexual allegations. Possible 70 names were linked to sexual misconduct, deviant behavior, whatever you want to call it. And I was saying that I hope to God
streaming on Facebook,
lot of these stories that are coming out are factual, because if they're not, they're going to ruin a lot of careers.
Well, and that's what I was saying. So, like, and the same thing, just to paraphrase, you know, my stance on it. Like you said, I'm the first one to kind of hold up the conspiracy hat and put it on. And, you know, to me, when there's smoke, there's fire.
That's correct.
So I'm not saying that somebody's not telling the truth. What I am saying is that it's probably maybe a misinterpretation. And once again, I'm nowhere near an expert in this field. And like I said, I like to think that when people see somebody, oh my God, that's the same story I've had, they kind of feel empowered to be like, oh my God, like this person knows exactly how I feel. So like they kind of, it's almost like piling on. And I always have like this thing about piling on, but like
it's just way too convenient. I'm sorry.
It is. But like I said, and that's what I was going to say before. Like the first thing you think of, and like you said, Chop. Like if these guys are guilty of it, and you can't because it's hard to prove in a sense, you know.
Yes.
But if you can, I don't know if you guys can hear the ice cream man in the background. It's fucking 9:30 at night.
And that's great.
but. If you really think about it, like if assuming these women are telling the truth, but assuming there's a few as well that aren't, like you said, you're talking about ruining somebody's livelihood, and then it brings up the Enzo Amore case to me.
Correct. You read my mind. I agree.
And the guy didn't where he more or less got let go because of everything that went down, and you'd be hard pressed to say that he didn't get affected by that, but he did. Like
yes.
He ended up losing the gig, whether he was happy, not happy, whatever the case is. Obviously now it's all in the past now, but you know, I think he got affected. I think that's fair to say that he got affected by it. I don't want to say blackballed because he did that one thing. You guys are there, right? For the ROH thing when he showed up.
At the New Japan show, yeah.
Yes.
New Japan thing. And, you know, he obviously, that didn't pan out for a few reasons. But he doesn't really do much in the business now. But, whether some of that is he wants to, but how much of that could be that he's getting blackballed?
Well, another thing is that, What's infuriating is that woman that that accused Enzo of sexual misconduct ruined his career. And then on top of that, there was a ton of people that did not like him already as it is. So that was like the perfect like shotgun to blow the head off of his career. Yeah. And that's it. And my fear is that I just hope these women don't ruin careers. I want them to be factual. I want them to be honest. Because if they're honest, every one of those motherfuckers, whether I like them or not, are going to have to suffer because it's not right. It's not right. I'm sorry.
And that's the truth. And it's funny because once again, you know, what I always say, perception is always reality. So like people can cut up what we say now and just spin it any which way you want. The truth of the matter is, like you said, if these people, if these wrestlers that who some of them, like, you know, the Riddles, you know, all these guys, like if it's true, I want them to be tried to the fullest extent of the law. Like, I don't want that to be lost under this, but we also have to kind of like look at it from today's day and age where it's just like, it's just very easy to accuse people of something and kind of like, ooh, it's true because this is the flavor of the month, if that makes sense.
No, you're right. No. Phil, what do you think about it, man? Like, do you think this is going to ruin careers? Oh, not all of them, but at least some of them, you think?
Well, they've already released Jack Gallagher.
That I knew. That I heard about. I was going to let you guys know about that. And that I heard about.
So Jack Gallagher goes, and then... Where's this mic? Oh, there it is. So
Jack Gallagher's gone.
Yeah, but, you know, there's a huge... After you posted this morning, there's a lot of people saying a lot of different things, and our UK contingency was like, you know, this is fucked up, and this has been going on. And apparently this has been going on forever with the UK guys. They've been menacing girls forever.
Allegedly, let me premise
that with the allegedly, you know. But what bothered me was after the fact that this comes out, you guys all post all your shit. Within every time I refresh Twitter, there was more names coming out.
It was insane, right?
You know,
it was.
Now I was part of that. Now I remember Ronnie from the Nerdport was on my wavelength for like 5 minutes today. Ronnie was like, "Why are they coming out now?" And then all of a sudden, here come all the fucking social justice warriors. Like, no, girls don't have to come out. They come out anytime they want. You know, this is you know, depends on how they feel and if they're gonna ruin it's gonna ruin their career or maybe they didn't want to come out. They were afraid.
Then it should be a double standard because no, TJP is going through the same fucking situation and they're ridiculing the poor guy even though he's fucking fondled when he was 15 years old by 22, 23, 23-year-old women. And then a lot of them are saying like, oh, TJP grew up, you're a man, you should like that. How is that like fair, you know? Like you can't, like, trust me, if you're a 15-year-old boy and you have a 22-year-old woman trying to like get with you, that's like a teenager's dream, you know? But like, For guys to say, oh, it's okay for women to do it whenever they want. It could be 2 years from now or 25 years from now. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I just, you know what the problem is too, is that there's, you know, it's really easy for somebody, fan-wise anyway, to sit behind their fucking computer or their phone or whatever device they're using. Nice shirt, Jay. Device they're using is
I just seen the Wizards
post. You seen the Wizards post, yeah. So it's really easy for somebody to and really destroy somebody. You know, we lost that young Japanese girl a few months ago because of bullying and shit like that. It's real easy for these fucking marks to sit behind their devices and then pick on people and destroy their lives. Because let's face it, everybody has a voice now with social media. Everybody has a podcast now. It's the medium of the future. It's the medium of what's going on. So what bothered me the most was all the shit that what they were saying. And then on top of that, hey Augie, on top of that was like, you know, the names just kept coming out like every fucking hour. I'm like, are you kidding me? Matt Riddle and then Marty Scurll and then Gallagher and then who's the other kid you guys mentioned before? What's his name?
Jordan Devlin.
Jordan Devlin.
Which is Finn Balor's guy?
Yeah. And then the other kid, you mentioned his name too. What was the other name?
David Starr.
Yeah. Travis Banks. Leggero.
Travis Banks was the other one that kind of like struck me as weird. Like it's just...
Joe Coffey? I mean, a lot of these guys, again, I really hope these are all factual stories. And
well, I kind of just want to get this, and I once again I'm going to try to say it correctly. Whereas it is easy, and you know, it's just so easy to say stuff like that. And I don't want to say get away with it. I don't think that's the right word to say. But I think it's just you're not going to get questioned as much. If in today's climate, at least, it, you know, and because you can just go, so and so did such and such on this date, and it's, you know, it's your word against his word, and short of pinging cell phone fucking towers and, you know, and all this stuff, it's really hard because, you know, obviously sexual assault and in and of itself, like the stuff with Alberto Del Rio, like that's fucking disgusting. Like if even half of that is true, what happened with him is just disgusting. And
it wouldn't be shocking,
right? Exactly, know? Because that dude's a fucking menace anyway.
Yes,
but a lot of the names that are listed are, like, to me are just complete shocks, you know? Like,
yeah, but I guess it's like one of those things where, dude, behind closed doors, like, you know, the only one I really kind of read into were two of them to me was the Matt Riddle one, because who was it? Candy Cartwright.
Candy Cartwright, yes.
She wrote it, and you know, she writes it from an area of, you know, they're in the car together, and I don't know. Like, is that scenario feasible? And the answer is obviously yes. The answer is feasible. You know, and I think that's where the judgment lies. And that's kind of where the, all of a sudden he's going to be berated on social media. He's going to be let go by WWE and all this stuff. So, you know, I think you'll be hard pressed to kind of bail yourself out. David Starr had one of the best, and first off, he sounds like a complete utter douchebag in and of himself. But he had a really good retort to it, where he goes, "No matter what I do, no matter what I say, I'm gonna be painted guilty. So at this point, it doesn't matter." And that is the kind of the injustice about it. If that makes sense.
It makes sense, because everything, you know, the accusations that are made, you know, and like Choppy said, with this, you know, in this sense, they really can't be double standard, even though it's, you know, in our eyes, I mean, I hate to sound like the old man on the fucking porch, get off my lawn, right? But it's like, it different time, different era, different, I mean, I'm not saying this didn't go on back in the day, because it was all the time. Mm-hmm. And it was like a constant, and no one said anything. And this is like Choppy said, this is like, you know, Hollywood and pro sports.
Yeah.
Pro sports was like, apparently, you know, guys like Steve Garvey, and I mean, these guys were like fucking, they were animals, you know. Louis Polonia, the outfielder.
Another wrestler that from about 5 or 6 years, Rock and Roll Buck Zumoff.
That dude, the child pornographer guy.
Yeah, he's a piece of shit.
Right,
yeah,
right. So, like, you know, this is not far fetched. This is not like, oh my god. But I just don't. I hate the fact that you can't tell now who's right and who's wrong, because the names just kept fucking piling up and piling up, and you're like, okay, and no one's really telling their story. It's like they're hashtagging something and then putting out a statement like, this happened and this time and this year and blah 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 blah, right? And it's like, okay, maybe it did happen, but now it's like, even if it was a half truth, like David Starr said, you're wrong.
No matter how you
Justin
it,
Roberts,
unfortunately.
Justin Roberts now is on the fucking hook now for apparently he was asking a minor for naughty pictures.
What about Jimmy Havoc's situation?
I don't even know about Jimmy Havoc.
Yeah, apparently he got accused by a former girlfriend for being now she's accusing him of mental abuse, like, mm-hmm. He treated me like this. He said he was going to kill himself to make me feel like a piece of shit. It's like, oh my god, like it just goes on and on and on. And now AEW is trying to see if they try to evaluate Jimmy Havoc's status, is what they put up on their Twitter.
Excuse me one second, guys.
Go. So Jimmy Havoc is like, they're trying to figure out what's his status now with the company. I mean, like, this, the all these stories are going to ruin careers, whether they're fact, like, I, if they're, I'm just, what I'm saying, I hope every one of these stories are factual, because if the, if, it, if all these stories, all these stories are true, these guys have to suffer the consequences, have to face the consequences. I'm sorry.
It's yeah, just, I mean, it's not, you know, I'm not sticking up for any of these dudes. I'm not at all.
I'm not either.
I'm just like, I'm just sad that some of my favorite guys are on there, you know, like Riddle.
Could you imagine, like,
Marty Scurll?
Yeah.
You know,
Marty Scurll's shocked.
But, Baz was telling me the other day, like, this is, they've been talking shit about Marty for years. He's been a terror for years, apparently.
Really?
Oh, right. God. But, like, see, that's the thing, too. So now, getting back to the whole social media thing, these and female wrestlers are getting destroyed online too. It's like, you know, all these fans like doing the ring rat thing, and it's like, guys, even if they're fucking half right, if this even went on remotely, like, come on, man, you can't justify this.
You can't
justify any of this. You know, if that's how you're gonna carry yourself, even if you were fucking around, even if you were joking, okay, even if you were in this climate. Dude, I got. I'll tell you off topic, off air. But I wrote something online. Someone at work thought it was work related, and dimed me.
That's crazy.
And a manager was like, "Well, you know, this can go to HR." And I'm like, "But it's not even work related. You know, this is the climate that we live in now. Whatever you do, whatever you say, it doesn't matter. If a group of people feel that you're wrong, you're wrong. That's it." But if you did half this shit, or not even a tiny bit, if you were even in a conversation with somebody, even if you were fucking around, joking around with these girls, you're still wrong. You can't even, like, now, and with the way shit's going on now, with no one's working right now, really, unless you're working for the top 2-3 promotions. I mean, and NXT, I mean, WWE and AEW, and now New Japan, everybody else is not working right now. You know, the country is just starting now to try to get back into the swing of things. These guys are out of work. Now what are you going to do? Justin Roberts is a ring announcer for the hottest company on the planet right now. He's 30 something years old. Now he's going to get fucking fired. They can't.
We don't know yet.
But
we don't know.
I'm just saying, no, Chop. They can't. Listen. Jack Gallagher was accused. He's already fired.
I know.
You don't think Tony? You think Tony Khan wants that on his roster right now?
No.
You think TNT wants that? Even if Justin Roberts is innocent, or he was flirting with somebody, maybe he didn't know the girl was underage. Let's just hypothetically. I'm not sticking up for
Justin. Yeah, absolutely.
Trust me, I'm not sticking up for Justin Roberts. I'm just saying, like, these things. If you're a public person, if you're in the public eye, anything we say, we fuck around tongue in cheek. There's 300 of these episodes. They play it back. They hear something that I didn't like say, or you said, or not Jay said. It's a wrap.
All they gotta do is just cut and paste. That's all they gotta do is cut and paste.
Yeah.
And that is sort of the issue is, and it's a real shame. And like I said, I mean, it's, you know, it's obviously it's unfolding as we speak. And you know, like it's hard to, the idea is it's hard to disprove, and that's what it comes down to. It's hard to disprove. You know, it's the woman's word against their word, and all you can kind of do is just go, you know, I hate to say plead the fifth, because obviously then you're really painted as guilty. So even though you're damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Yeah, yeah. Jordan Worth Cobb in the chat room. Jordan, I'm not protecting the boys at all.
No, we're not.
I'm not protecting anybody.
Not even remotely.
All I'm saying is in these situations, okay, you hypothetically just have to give the benefit of the doubt for the sake of the discussion. I'm not saying I'm not advocating for any of these guys. Okay? You're in the public eye, and this is for athletes and musicians and
anybody
who's in the public eye, politicians, you know what I'm saying? News people, like, people see and hear you all the time, okay? You have to carry yourself a certain way. You know, there's no way around it, you know?
Hey, for lack of a better term, like, even us for that, you know, for that matter, like, you know?
Yeah, we have a responsibility now. I mean, Do we fuck around and say some crazy shit? Yeah, of course we do.
But it's tongue-in-cheek.
Right, but that's the thing, though. If somebody hears this right now, or somebody plays 40 episodes ago, and hears we use a word that's outdated, okay?
Yeah.
That's hysterical. Or they play one of our Christmas parties back, you know, with the wizards. Like, you're going to hear shit that's outdated and hysterical. Unfortunately, though, in this climate, it's not funny anymore, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Okay? It almost puts a damper on what we're doing now. Because we, sometimes I feel restricted. You know, I was listening to a podcast, a radio show the other day. Our radio show was, a web show by one of my favorite rappers. And he's got a show, and he has celebrities on his show. And he had Michael Rappaport on. Okay. Now, Rap is a well-known liberal. He's on Facebook every day cursing at Trump, yelling at the politicians, yelling at people. You know, he grew up predominantly in black communities, hung out with black people. That was his thing, you know. He got into a discussion because him and Quali are friends for 20 years. So him and Quali are having a chat, right? And they're talking about something. Somebody tried to roast him on TV and called him fat and white. So once he heard the word white, he snapped and said, well, if I'm fat and white, your ankles are ashy. And he told the chick that her ankles are ashy because they were, but because she was black, it was wrong for him to say. You know? So, and then he was like, why? But these are words. You see, certain things get triggered. These guys are going to, if they're going to carry themselves in a certain way, you know, at least, you know, if Mike's going to carry himself the same, these wrestlers have to do the same thing. You carry yourself a certain way. You got to back up what you're doing. You can't do something stupid. You can't say anything you don't want. You know, people can't say anything they want anymore. You know?
And that's kind of a shame in a sense, too, if you think about it. Like, because, like you said, there's certain words that are, once again, it's the idea of everything is context. So, like you said, like going back to the Justin Roberts thing, like he might have been – he may not have known her age. I mean, listen, we're not going to the defense here, but it's just like you just got to look at it objectively. He may not have known her age. He may have just said something that was off color. Maybe she took it the wrong way. You know, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just, you know, if it was like a Velveteen Dream type thing where he's sending lewd pictures, you know, or what have you. Or allegedly what he did, I take that back, but what he was accused of doing. Once again, not knowing all the facts.
Yeah, but like, for example, well, going back to what Phil said, you really can't say a lot of the old school terms that we're used to saying.
Look, the Wizards just sent me there on the thread. How many times have you said the N-bomb? How many times have we played the N-bomb word?
That's, yeah.
Right? From Onesta, from Fred Sanford, from George Jefferson, from DMX.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
Going back to what I was saying.
Right. So it's like this climate, no one's being protected no more. No one. I mean, you have your free. Is freedom of speech even a thing anymore? Like but if you're putting yourself out there, okay, if you're a performer and you're doing something you're not supposed to be doing, especially with women, like, let's be honest here, man. These are some serious allegations.
Yeah.
Okay, this is not some ring rat shit. This is not, I got to protect the boys. This ain't 1982 in Mid-South anymore, okay? This ain't, you know, the closed door at the Marriott with Ric Flair, you know what I'm saying? This is, like, girls are saying, listen, I was abused. I was violated. Yeah. I was this. I was that. And they're pointing fingers. Even if they have an agenda, even if they're wrong, it's not going to come out that way. It's not. So now, the fact that you even mentioned in something like that, you had to have done something. I'm sorry.
Yes, I know that. Even, I think that is true.
Even if you didn't do what the young lady said, young ladies said, okay, you had to be somewhere in their vicinity to do that. Unless they woke up one day and looked at a Rolodex and said, "Oh, let's call David Starr out for rape," which I doubt, you know, because. Listen, as you know, mental health, mental illness. I mean, look at the Boy Scouts, the Cub Scouts thing, man. They have lawyers now
on TV? Were you violated by a scoutmaster? Were you violated by your
Were you violated
by your priest? And this is these are fucking radio ads I hear on my sports network. Like that bugs me the fuck out. Cause I played team sports my whole life. You know, thank God I wasn't that pretty to get hit on or anything, but like but seriously though, like, can you imagine? Just like I'm thinking my godson, one of my godsons is a Cub Scout. One of my best friends is a scoutmaster. I bust his balls all the time because he was wearing that creepy uniform, right?
But on you know, and the unfortunate thing is, unfortunately, there are people out there like this, and it's the wolf in sheep's clothing type thing where, you know, like to me, you kind of have to, you do have to kind of accept it. You know, you kind of have to see what's being said, and I dissect everything individually, if that makes sense.
I think going back to what Phil was talking about, how we can't really talk about old words like we normally could. Like, for example, last week we were at Mikey's party, and we used the word mook.
And somebody's and Mikey's mom was like, no, it's a derogatory mark. I'm like, no, it's
not. And we were like, no, it's not. It means you're an idiot.
I had to break out the computer and play her the Alex Trebek fucking thing.
And then we pulled up, and then she looked up the word mook online, and she was like, oh, yeah, you guys are right. It's not a racist term. I was like, yeah, we told you that. It just means you're an idiot. You're a retard. That's it.
It's you know, like I said, it's cancel culture. At the end of the day, and, you know, it's – I don't like this show – so nobody should like it. You know, like it that's that mentality of I don't like the word, nobody should. You know, I think that's a different conversation per se. You know, but like I said, with this stuff, like it's really hard to tiptoe around that line because you don't want to. We're wrestling fans. At the end of the day, we are wrestling fans. We want to believe that these guys are telling the truth. But also in the same sense, what do we know what goes on behind closed doors? You know, I don't think it's,
we don't know. We don't know. And I'm embarrassed as a fan to see what I saw on social media today, because some of these people came out and did the whole hashtag. And then all of a sudden, like, these fans were like fucking relentless. And I'm like, you know what? It's really easy for you fuckers to sit behind your gimmicks and run your mouth. You know? Same way it's real easy for me to sit here behind a mic and be silly. Right? But the difference is I'm not going to fucking condemn a person for coming out and speaking about what's bothering them. Or I'm not going to condemn a person for coming out and identifying themselves as somebody else. Or identifying the situation as something else. I'm not a tree hugging hippie, but love is love. And on top of that, your goal every day. I have two goals in life right now is to be happy and not be a burden. My third agenda every day is to be a better fucking human when I wake up every day. Okay, and that's whether I do something at work or, you know, extracurricular. You just have to respect people's boundaries and respect people in general. Where do you lose that translation? All these people that we're talking about that are allegedly accused of stuff, they're not old people. They're not. They're young people, okay? And they're in a different generation where they should know that you should be a fucking better human being, and you're not. Okay. Yep. And this is not me judging you. This is just me saying, hey, man, you were in a place where you shouldn't have been, and these people now are calling you out on some shit. Whether you did it or not, you shouldn't even been there. You know? You know, and then now this is affecting your job. This is affecting your job.
Like I said, guys like Riddle, guys like Devlin, you know, these are quote unquote dream jobs, and they're, you know, vastly being affected by it.
And think about this. Matt Riddle has only been in the business for 5 years.
Yeah.
Think about that for a second.
Who debuted tonight, right? On SmackDown?
He debuted, debuted tonight. On SmackDown with AJ Styles.
Can you imagine?
That's a big conference boost.
Can you imagine getting that promoted or to jump up to the main roster and all of a sudden this happens? Like, maybe that girl was holding on to that. Maybe she waited for that.
Listen.
Maybe she sat there and said, you know what? I'm going to wait till you get called up. And apparently he was cyber stalked. These words are so fucked up, man. When I hear words like triggered and cyber stalk, I'm like, yo, this is like a fucking bad Showtime movie. You know what I'm saying? Like this ain't right, man. You shouldn't be doing shit like that. You know?
Yeah. Put your hands where our eyes can see it. God damn it!
Exactly. Exactly.
I think that's gonna be the name of the show.
Put your hands where my eyes can see. Yeah. Bust the bus. Bust the bus, baby.
You know, like I said, I think to you know, if you guys want to put a bow on it, like, you know, it's just like hopefully the truth always should rise to the top. You know, and like I said, at this point, you know, if guys can prove that they're innocent, or, you know, girls can prove that the guys are guilty, I want everything to work out like it's supposed to. I don't want anybody to I don't want any kind of underhanded shit. I don't like that stuff. I hate special treatment type stuff. To me, if these guys are guilty, I want them to be, you know, pushed to the fullest extent of the law. And if they're innocent, I want the complete opposite of pushed. I want them to be, you know, relieved of all that stuff. You know, these guys are dealing with enough stress now. The Jack Gallagher, imagine it proves that he's innocent. He's now he's out of work. Like, it's stuff like that you just see. You just want everything to work out like it's supposed to.
And what about the other side of that? What if these guys did do what they're accused of doing? Now these girls who are also performers have to work with this for the rest of their life. They have to They have to live with this for the rest of their life. That's mental anguish that can hurt your livelihood, your job. That can hurt future relationships. If you have children, that can affect your children. Or when you have children, that can affect your children. These things all have to come into factor. This, which is why it's a serious thing. People don't think about it. This is why, again, going back to the fucking fans who don't give a fuck and they feel entitled because they think they know too much about their favorite person. Okay? It's not like when we were kids and we bought the wrestling magazines that were fake anyway. We got all the information from there. Or when we got like the, you know, if you were a metal fan, you got fucking Hit Parader and you had like the little articles about the guys, you know, Eddie Van Halen vacationing this week. It was like the People magazine or fucking, or like the Star, like the, what do you call that? What was Rag magazine that you get at Walmart? That
I'm gonna Inquire.
See. Inquire, right. Star. I'm going to see that tomorrow online when I go online at Wally's. So it's like, you know, these things don't get considered. They don't. And it's disgusting, okay? And if this did happen to these people, then all these people who were accused should be fucking exiled from pro wrestling, and they should fucking be sued, or they whatever state or country you were in, be fucking prosecuted to the fullest, and you should handle it like that. You know, and like Jay said, if you didn't do what you said, they say you did, and you can prove it, and you did prove it, maybe by the grace of God, if you're a religious person, or by sheer luck, you'll get work again, or you'll pick up somewhere else, or you'll pick up your life back. And because again, it's the same thing too. Like, you know, these guys get, you know, back in the day they had the Rockefeller Law here in New York with the drugs, like people who. If I was with somebody who had 10 kilos of cocaine and I had nothing to do with it, but I was hanging out with him in his car, I'm doing 25 to 30 years in jail.
Yeah.
You know, but you're guilty by association. But like, it's the concept though is like, you know, if you're not guilty per se, then that stains on you too. Maybe I don't want to hire you. You know, maybe, if you didn't do it, but you were mentioned, I don't want you coming into my company.
That's the promoter's right, though, in the main sense. It's the promoter's right.
Right.
So, like I said, to me, Chops, you have any final comment on it? Or
I think that let's just see how things pan out for the next, like, week. Because if they're right now, allegedly there's 70 names. Let's see if there's going to be, like, 100 names. We don't know yet. So
Let's just see how things pan out.
Let's see how... Like how WWE is going to act on the news. Let's see how AEW is going to act on the news, and what other promotions out there will act. I know Progress has suspended a couple of these wrestlers.
Yeah,
they suspended them.
This has been going on in UK for a minute, man.
Yeah, man.
It's like the fucking wild, wild west out there, man.
Again, if this is true, then these guys need to face the consequences.
Yep.
And then, you know, if they lose their jobs, then guys, I'm sorry, you shouldn't have done what you had done.
Exactly. You know, consequences have to be made, and consequences have to be made on both sides. If they're guilty, let them, you know, let them do their right. But if they're innocent, also the consequences, you can't be throwing accusations out there just willy nilly, you know. And even if it's something that is just, like you said, it's just misinterpreted, you know. Obviously the person shouldn't be in that situation. So like it's once again, even if you're proven innocent, you may still be wrong per se, because you shouldn't be put into that predicament, like Phil was saying before. I think that's something that's going to get lost within all this. I think it's all going to be about the story. It's all going to be about the salacious headlines. But nothing about the meat and potatoes about the story is going to be lost about it.
Salacious. Look at you with the big words. Again with the big words, Choppy. You hear this?
I could do it. I could do this.
Again with the big words.
I definitely know we went a little long on it, but I definitely want to talk about Backlash. I like Backlash. I thought Backlash, you know, was pretty good.
Smoking the greatest shit in the world, because Backlash was the drizzling donkey.
No way.
Sorry. It was fucking atrocious. And for WWE to even put out that fucking product, they should fucking slap themselves in the dick for everything they did that Sunday, because I was fucking bored out of my goddamn mind. And the fact that the Viking Raiders were put in such a comedic fucking performance pisses me off even more.
Well, I was going to get
to that. Those guys are like the Legion of Doom of this era. They did their work in Japan, ROH, in the indie scene, NXT, main roster. And you're going to put those guys and then the Street Profits on top of that in a comedic fucking match? Dude. WWE, eat a bag of dicks.
Sorry. I want to pause that for a second. I totally forgot about Jim Cornette and his wife.
Yes. Jim Cornette also denied all the accusations, even though there's like text messages and pictures of his wife being sent out.
I forgot about Cornette was one of them. I told you guys my theory on that. We were texting about it earlier today. You know, I'm not saying Cornette's innocent. Once again, who the fuck knows? But from what it sounds like his ex-wife was literally running the ship, as it were. And if she's, you know, doing that, who's to say that she wouldn't, you know, be putting Cornette in a corner and be like, you're watching me have sex with this wrestler? Like, yeah. Is that out of the realm of possibility? No, I think that's, you know, somewhat true.
But again,
I don't know if it is.
Right? But again, look at who this is. This is a guy who spent a third of his life in the wrestling business since he's a teenager.
I would say even two-thirds.
Two-thirds, maybe. Yeah. Right, over 40 years. So he's been everything. He's been a promoter. He's been talent. He's been a promoter. He's been management. He's been ownership. He's a curator. Like, he's everything. And now he's a fucking podcaster who people validate what he says. So, again, this is what I mean. You shouldn't even be in that fucking position of doing shit like that.
Yes,
But do you know how fucked up Jim Cornette's life must be right now? He got fired from NWA for that racial slur. Now he's being accused of sexual misconduct with his wife.
Yeah.
The man is in a shitstorm right now, and nothing he can do. And then on top of that, he denies it. But I unfortunately, there's text message proof that things were.
Well, and once again, like you said, I mean, just playing devil's advocate type thing, where he was in a tumultuous relationship with his ex-wife, and like she was running, you know, everything, and just saying, "Well, you're gonna do this, otherwise, I'm gonna make your life a living hell." You know, that type of stuff, like, you know, we've all been in bad relationships. Like, it, you know, to me, is it out of the realm of possibility? No. I mean, is it more than likely true? That's up for debate to me. But like you said, it is, you know, once again, you're going to have to prove it. I don't know how Cornette writes everything down. So, you know, I mean, he might have records to back it up and all this stuff, but people are saying that he was, you know, he was in the room. Like the allegations are pretty, pretty fucking coarse. So once again, hopefully the light will shine the truth at this point, you know?
All right. Back to Backlash. I apologize. I just wanted to get that out before we finish.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. But, yeah, I didn't dislike Backlash as much as Choppy did. However, I will say this. The greatest match of all time thing. Choppy and I, because Choppy was here, and we spoke about this in length. It was like, how do you even, and even people who were here with us were like, how do you, is this really going to happen? I'm like, no, stop. I see why they would do something like this. Of course, now I'm playing devil's advocate. I think it was dumb to say that, you know, especially with two guys who were in their 40s, you know, Edge pushing 50, right? Mm-hmm. And on top of that, the match was good. Wasn't as good as their Mania match, if you want to compare, right?
Ooh, I disagree.
Well, okay, it's fine.
Yeah.
And then on top of that,
yeah, we're gonna have a conversation with him after the show.
So then, on top of that, the poor dude tore up his triceps. I think it was
triceps. I believe, yeah.
Like, you know, it's just no one's gonna have the greatest match ever anymore because it's not that kind of way anymore. It's like, you know, it's they're emphasizing the entertainment value of it. You want a quote unquote greatest match? Go watch fucking All Japan. You know,
yes.
Go watch. I was watching some shit last night. Get me started.
But
you know what I was watching today? I was watching Kawada versus Shibata. They fucking destroy each other.
Kings Road style, strong style. Oh. Like, you want, like, matches that you want, or you want, like, high flying lucha shit. Watch CMLL and AAA.
I think that stuff's it's in the eye of the beholder. And, like I said, to me, much like Phil and much like Choppy as well, like, I lean towards the Japan stuff. I love the stories. That being said, I believe this was WWE's attempt at that. And to me, it wasn't a swing and a miss. I think it was kind of a little bit overplayed towards the end with all the finishes. I think they were going a little tongue-in-cheek. This is my opinion. I think they were doing all these finishes, you know, all the rock bottoms and the pedigrees and the ankle slams. Like, they were kind of, I guess, ribbon on the square type thing with the business type stuff. I think so. But that being said, overall, as a match, honestly, I love the match. I really did.
The match was. Go ahead, Choppy. Go ahead.
Thank you, Deontay. You're Mr. WWE positive over here. So. That match,
wasn't bad, Chop.
Listen.
The match wasn't bad.
Eat a bag of dicks, all right? So, okay, let me tell you something. Now, let me tell you something, brother.
Oh, boy.
So, their match, I think their match in 2004 for the Intercontinental title at, I think it was Fully Loaded, I think it was, from 2000, whatever it was. Vengeance 2004, sorry. They tore it up with that match. That was a really good match. And then for Vince to put the tag on the greatest wrestling match ever, Vince.
Yes.
You're almost 80 fucking years old. Shut the fuck up. I know you're just ribbing the wrestling fan base with that fucking tagline. You want to know what was probably the last great wrestling match I saw? And I'm not even talking about athletics. I'm just talking about based on pure story alone. Was fucking Dustin Rhodes and Cody Rhodes from AEW.
Oh, I agree.
That match had it was a little bit of like high spots, but it had a well-told story based on the young guard versus the old guard scenario, and I loved it. Mm-hmm. Now, for people to say that it was not a bad match.
No.
I'm just saying that it was not the greatest match that these guys have had.
Oh, of course not. They it definitely wasn't.
Way better wrestling match. And I don't know if you know this, they had to reshoot that match a couple times because of the injury. So the match had to pause, reshot again, pause. Like, guys,
That was going to be a question I was going to ask you guys is, do you think that's why Edge, because you could definitely tell there's a few different edits within that match. And to me, I think what that does is that kind of slows down the body, it tightens the muscles a little bit. Is that why maybe perhaps they tried something different with editing per se, and like maybe that might have led to the injury? Like I, because watching the match, I couldn't see where the injury happened.
All I know is that if you're going to promote the greatest match ever, okay, this is like a, for them to do this, this is like a circus, like a circus that's on its last fucking legs and is doing the tour, and it's like the animals are dying, clowns are getting sick, and like all of a sudden you get to like the last couple, you lose half your acts, and you're like, this is gonna be the greatest trapeze ever, and you try to put all your buns in one basket, and it just doesn't, and you blow your load. How do you promote the greatest match ever in front of 10 fucking people? Okay, how do you promote in this exactly? How do you do that? How do you do that willingly?
I'm going to be Yano.
Yeah.
Yeah. How do you do? And then on top of that, you the next day or the week before, you take out you're moving management around. You're making power moves that are not on the same level or on the same page what you're trying to do. Like, mm-hmm. Apparently the network was mad that USA was mad that Paul Heyman was fired. Why? Because the casual fan or the people who were producing it were like, hey, maybe the talent looked better on Raw every Monday night, you know? Taking nothing away from Bruce Pritchard. I'm just saying, like, you know, you can't put two fucking middle-aged dudes in a ring in front of 10 people on a 3-hour show and tell me or anybody who with a little bit of intelligence, because I'm not as smart as the average bear, but like, you know, with minimum intelligence, oh yeah, this is the greatest match ever. Even the casual fan is like, we had three casual fans in England. Get the fuck out of here, the greatest match ever.
They definitely overhyped the match, and it would never live up to any expectations that it had.
Thank you, Bob Caudle, Mr. Obvious over here. Okay,
yeah, there's no way, but. That being said, like I'm telling you, as a match, objectively, obviously, to me, it made the rest of the pay per view better. Like they obviously did the right thing. Wait for the end. as choppy as now, pulling out the mic. Listen, I'm telling you, I love the stuff in the beginning. You know, what I didn't like, and I couldn't wait to bring this up, is the you know, the No Mercy and Nintendo 64 piped in sounds that they had in the background.
Did you hear that shit?
That was god awful.
It was embarrassing. Wow, look at you using the words god awful.
But I will say that I loved the match, and I was, like I said, and I watched it a few days later, like looking for the injury, and I spotted a few inconsistencies or continuity problems. Like, you know, they definitely wiped Orton's head at some point, but then they didn't wipe it at another. You know what I'm saying? So like the editing was a little bit off.
And you know what was the fucked up part about it all? And it was a nice gesture. The most fucked up part of it all. They fucking piped in Howard Finkel.
Yes, I did like that.
And drop the MSG mic. We looked at y'all like, what are they fucking doing? Oh. I'm going to say this again. How do you do that in front of 10 people? That's something that has to be in front of 18,000 people in an arena, screaming fans, ding, ding, ding. This contest is scheduled for one fall, and then have the people yell and go nuts. You can't do that in front of 10 of your fucking peers.
I agree, but this match was made for, obviously, it would be a lot better in front of 18,000 people as compared to 18 people. But the whole match in and of itself, they had the in-the-ring edits. Like, this match was made for TV, per se. So, like, even, like, the way that they were playing to the cameras, they knew where the camera was going to be. I actually really enjoyed the Fink thing. Like I thought that was a good thing. I really, you know, you know what? I think I'm going to be Team WWE on this fucking team.
All right. Moving right along, because we ran over with this nonsense. Plus, Jay has to go to work tomorrow, so we don't want to keep him up too late.
I'm good to go.
And we got a pretty silly throwback for you tonight. The weekly shows, I just caught up. Any news and notes you want to talk about? AEW, I thought was a good show.
Yeah. Did you notice a little something that was said by Cody Rhodes in his promo?
No.
I was half asleep, too.
So Arn Anderson is like, you know, introducing Ricky Starks, obviously.
The best. Fucking awesome.
I loved it.
Good match, by the way.
It was a good match, absolutely.
Prior to the Ricky Starks coming out, Cody says, you know, last week I was getting my ass handed to me, and guess what? Where was the Elite? I thought I was still part of the Elite. What's going on? Then he said, where was my Nightmare family? I thought we were all a family. What's going on?
Okay.
Now I'm thinking they're going to start getting the ball rolling with another faction. And I mark my words, I'm calling this. It's Cody, FTR, Sean Spears with Arn Anderson and Tully as the advisors for this group. Now, is it going to be the Four Horsemen?
Please, no.
They're not going to use it.
I'm not saying they are, but
they're going to emulate it.
What was it in TNA? Fortune?
Oh, stop. I know, choppy like Fortune.
I like Fortune.
I don't have enough
time. Your hand.
Yeah, that's another podcast. I can't fuck with that.
What I didn't like is when they're trying to make AJ Styles the new Ric Flair. I was like, why just let AJ Styles be AJ Styles? That's it.
Yeah. Even Styles admitted it. Yeah.
You know what's the best thing about Fortune? When our boy Jay Lethal went back and forth with Ric Flair. That shit was hysterical.
You know what's awesome? Flair still talks about that too.
Oh, it's so funny.
Flair still talks.
But I liked seeing Ricky Starks. I mean, I didn't.
He's the man, dude. He's the man.
Yeah,
he's the man.
And I believe he signed, right? He signed to AEW.
He's officially signed.
I'm telling you right now that it's another man's trash or somebody else's treasure. Wherever it is. I think NWA slept on him. Sadly, it's probably the first mistake the NWA has done in terms of talent. Letting him go like that.
We all knew he was going to be a star, though.
I was telling Stefan yesterday. There are a couple of guys in wrestling right now who are not even like they're like him and Sammy Guevara. These guys are not even like in their prime yet, and you know they're going to be good. Yeah. Like you know that they're fucking just they're on point. Mary. They are on point. And these guys only come every couple of years where you see it. I saw it with Hangman Page 4 years ago in the Hammerstein Ballroom. And I said to the whole club, I said, yo, boys, this kid's a player. This kid is a player. And he came – Donovan Dijak.
Remember the television title match?
Correct. I said, this kid is going to be a star. I mean, granted, he's still in NXT, but he was elevated.
He's on Raw now.
He's on Raw. Okay, then I stand corrected.
Yeah.
But you know what I'm talking about. There's just a couple of guys that you know. You know what I'm saying? You always knew with Kenny. As soon as Kenny Omega won the IWGP junior title, before the heel turn, you're like, yeah, that's the guy. You know?
Yeah.
You just know. Kota Ibushi, I said the same thing about Kota, and Choppy will tell you.
Remember when me and you called Jay White?
Jay White again.
We called Jay White.
And I said Jay White was one of those guys like, he gets – and I said – I kept telling him he gets better and better every match. And they shot him to the fucking moon. He's not even 30 years old yet. So Ricky Stark is in a great place. I'm glad AEW is doing the right thing by him. I'm loving everything about AEW right now. I like Luchasaurus and the whole jungle thing with Jericho. I'm loving Taz and Brian Cage. I still hate John Moxley. I I love FTR. I love Best Friends are awesome.
Yeah,
you know the Bucks.
What a shocking win, huh?
How about the Bucks and against what do you call it? Who they fight on? I'm drawing a blank already. Shit, I'm drawing a blank.
Oh, Was it Butcher and Blade?
No, they were ringside. They started beefing. They were ringside. Shit. But
it was Jimmy Havoc and Fabian.
But they killed it. They killed it, and then now all the tag teams are getting involved. This is what it's coming again.
And it's funny. Like AEW's like tag a little tag heavy, and you know what? I love it. Like it's especially
tag team wrestling is very very good now.
It's very underrated, and like you said, especially. They're doing it correctly, at least in my opinion. And, you know, looking at, like, what they have roster-wise or what have you, and they're doing it, I think, the right way. They're pushing, you know, the Best Friends. I think they're going to
fight Orange Cassidy. The stuff with Cassidy's really good. Like
him and Jericho is going to be great.
I'm telling you, man. And of course, Rob says, fuck Jay.
Jericho's going to make Orange Cassidy a fucking star in that match.
That's what Jericho. Yes. Listen, Choppy. That's what Jericho's getting paid to do right now, to make stars. To make stars. NXT, I just watched it tonight. Fantastic. Choppy's boys, the Imperium. Fucking against Fandango. And Tyler Breeze. Fucking awesome match, by the way. You know, I like Bayley and Sasha Banks killing it. I like what they're doing with Punishment Martinez, Damian Priest, Gonzalez, with Cameron Grimes. That's going to be good. Adam Cole, he's mixed up now with, now it's going to be Balor and Keith Lee.
Did you see the thing what Cross Regal announces?
Yes.
Winner take all match.
Correct.
I'm gonna lose my fucking mind.
And then the Undisputed Era trying to do a psych. It's like evaluation. Kyle Riley dressed up as a shrink.
Yes.
Yeah.
All fun stuff.
So let me ask you guys something. Who do you think is gonna win that winner take all match?
Gargano.
No.
I don't want him to win, but I feel like if they're gonna pull the belt off of, at this point, if they're gonna pull the belt off Adam Cole, they gotta pull it off, give it to somebody with heat. Who has more heat right now than Johnny Gargano? Do I want that to happen? No. What if
forget the heat that Johnny Gargano has, what if they pull the trigger on Keith Lee and he walks away
with I think they have too many people with two belts right now.
Listen, I'm not even mad if Balor does it.
Could you imagine Balor?
Oh, I like Balor doing
it. I would love Balor to do it. If it's not going to be Adam Cole, I want it to be Finn Balor. I love Keith Lee. I just love Finn Balor more. I'm a Finn Balor guy.
Keith Lee is a superstar that Vince wants on that Raw or SmackDown roster because Keith Lee is a main event player. Main event player, main event star. He's likable. He has charisma. He can talk. And he can go for a guy who's above 300 pounds.
Yeah.
The guy's a monster in the ring. So.
I keep harping on it tonight. I'm sorry, but I wish these things had an audience, man. Because like it's so good, man. You know, I like what they're doing.
Well, Shaylin just brought up a good point. Like if Cassidy did everything he did, you know, on Wednesday night in front of a crowd, the crowd would have went fucking bananas.
Yes,
of course.
Bananas.
Of course.
I was still trying to figure out who the fuck the cameraman was. He was dressed hiddenly so well that I had no clue who the fuck the guy was. And then when he revealed himself, I was like, oh shit.
Yeah.
It was good.
All right, we got a interesting throwback for you tonight.
Yeah, this is. I have to admit, I was saying it to Tabor before. Like, I was having so much fun doing this. I'm like, I wish I had a little bit. I was telling Phil too. Like, I completely threw an audible on my own self. And went
so record your alternate endings for Patreon. We want to tell you.
I actually went backwards.
All right, so let's take a quick break. Let's plug our friends. And we'll come back and we'll do some fantasy stuff, and I'll hint about that. So everybody mute the mics, listen to the Turnbuckle Throwbacks, we're live on the rant, and we will be right friggin' back.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following. Okay, let's give this a try. The Shining Wizards is a funny wrestling podcast. No. The Shining Wizards is an insightful wrestling podcast. How about this? The Shining Wizards is a great wrestling podcast that airs live Monday nights at 7 p.m. East on RantDMRadio.com and Rant Entertainment Media on the TuneIn app. Of course, it's available on all podcasting platforms. I think that covers it. To check us out, go over to ShiningWizards.com and get ready to join us for some wrestling talk and talk about wrestling.
I don't know.
In a world where Hollywood tries to tell you how to live while doing the exact opposite, where fresh ideas are tossed away for a cash grab reboot, where the media has become nothing but propaganda and freedom is traded for what they tell you is security and safety, there is Inconclusive Breakdown. Your weekly look at current events and entertainment with no political correct BS. Just news and uncensored opinions, everywhere you get podcasts. A proud member of the Shining Wizards Network.
Horns up, beautiful motherfuckers. Radioactive Metal is here on the Shining Wizards Network, and we want you to listen.
Every week, we cover the world of heavy metal and speak to your favorite bands.
We discuss new releases, concerts, controversies, and everything else that's related to heavy metal.
And occasionally, we even talk about pro wrestling.
Catch us live every Thursday night on PureRockRadio.net.
Listen to past episodes at RadioactiveMetal.org or at ShiningWizardsNetwork.com.
And remember, it's not metal unless it's radioactive metal.
Hey, this is Mike from The Midnight Jury. When you are done with this show, join my co-hosts Adam, Cal, Sydney, and I every Friday as we travel back to the last old school generation of the 80s and 90s to review the best and worst in pop culture, horror, and occasionally pro wrestling on WLWstudios.com or the Midnight Jury feeds on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, or Player FM. Go back in time when it was all about VHS, arcades, and hanging out at the mall. And remember that every second Saturday of the month, we go live at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Rant EM Radio, which includes taking your calls. Once again, that's The Midnight Jury on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Player FM, and our home, WLWstudios.com. We'll see you there.
This is Haku, and you're listening to the Turnbuckle Throwbags with Phil, Jay, and the Big Painty Ass Choppy.
Yes.
All right. Make sure you listen.
Thank you.
Yes, how could say so?
We're back.
I was just showing my muscles to Chuck.
You have muscles? Wow.
I was actually, you guys can't hear it because this setup is fucking awful. But I'm actually playing Ricky Steamboat's original music, which was the Chicago Bulls intro.
Yes.
If you remember
that. That's right.
That's right.
You mean to tell me that the one with that Ultimo Dragon used to use back in 2003 is not his original music?
No.
What?
No.
Awful.
All right, we're live. Rant EM Radio. We got a Turnbuckle Throwbacks, part of the Shining Wizards Network, part of Dark Satellite Media. It's Phil, it's Jay, it's Choppy. Let me play the Throwback of the Week music. It's one match, but let's get into it. Hold on. Let's do it.
And now, here is your Throwback of the Week, sponsored by the Shining Wizards Network and Rant EM Radio.
Shaylin said, hey, Jay, what muscles?
I was just getting ready to comment on it. They're in there somewhere.
Listen, long as Tabor likes the muscles, we're all right.
That's it.
That's all that matters. Yes. And your fucking Chris Robinson fucking Black Crow's beard that you're rocking now.
I know. Uh-huh. You know, it's funny. I couldn't find my red bandana to, I was going to be my Ricky Steamboat move.
Oh, no. All right, so obviously you were talking about Ricky Steamboat. Let me just premise this by, this is not because I hate the Honky Tonk Man, because I do, but you know, this is a conversation before Jay. We've had conversations before Jay, but now Jay's here, we have to have conversations with Jay. But before Jay, even before Choppy, the Terminal Throwbacks has always talked about what could have been, and we always do like a fantasy warfare type of thing, and we rebook certain storylines, and we rebook characters sometimes, and we rebook cards, full cards. But the goal is coulda, shoulda, would have, and some things you don't know until later on in life, you know. Again, let me premise this: this is not because I hate the Honky Tonk Man, but because he's the guy that. He was one of the first guys that went on all these fucking these kayfabe commentary wrestling shows, and then he's like, I don't do AM radio. I don't do radio. And then a month later, he's fucking on Colt Cabana's podcast, so he can go fuck his hand.
Yeah, shilling his shit, yeah.
Yeah, he can go fuck his hand.
To anybody that can listen.
Speaking of shilling, we got to get Tommy Rich on here to shill some shit on the show.
We got 20-something days to the anniversary show, boys.
Just to let everyone know, I'm trying to.
Oh, don't give it away. Don't.
No, yeah, 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 really, yeah. Don't. Yeah, leave that.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm just trying to get somebody on the show that's really, really awesome.
Yes.
So please, yes. Pray.
Yes. Let's light some Hazel Crystal candles. All right.
Pray to the wrestling gods.
The wrestling gods.
That this person comes on the show, because I'm working on it. I really am.
Yeah.
So you know. The question always remained, what if Ricky Steamboat had not lost his Intercontinental title? So 30 years ago last week, he did that on like Superstars.
It was on a Superstars taping, yeah.
Okay. And I can remember this vividly. I was 14, very, very upset. Cause I even hate the Honky Tonk Man back then. I didn't like him at all. I thought he was fucking trash, right? And the funny thing about this whole scenario is he held this fucking belt for 64 weeks. Mm-hmm. 64 weeks, okay?
And he wasn't even a great fucking wrestler. He was awful.
Thank you.
Awful.
I think... You finished
now. Little known fact: within those 64 weeks, he took 9 bumps.
True.
So, all right. So now, come to find out, we all know why he. Well, we don't know why he got the. Well, let me tell you. I found out why he got the belt, but Steamboat was not champion at that point anymore because he had just became a dad, and he wanted to take time off, and they wouldn't let him. Because at that point, you know. The IC title was the bread and butter of the Federation in terms of work rate.
Yeah, it basically was the bread and butter of the house shows because you know Hogan was not main eventing a lot of those shows because he didn't have to.
So it was always either the tag team title or the IC title that was...
Which one of the time was the IC title?
Correct.
Yes.
Correct. Would normally main event. I've been to a couple of house shows where the IC title was the main event and the world title was halfway mark so they can sell tickets for the next month, like I always said.
Correct.
You know, so normally you would, you know, a lot, like... Macho Man would headline a lot of my Don Morocco.
Well, that's Tito one Santana. Thing I noticed with doing a little research for this. That is one thing I noticed is that Macho Man was the one that was, you know, headlining with Steamboat, you know, on the quote unquote B show, as it were, while Hogan was out with a Kamala or something for another town. But Macho and Steamboat were drawing more people. It was. Now, how much of that is the WWF name? How much of that is the match itself? I think that would be up for debate.
Well, it could be depending on where you're going to. Like,
well, the one that I seen was from Uniondale, which is, you know,
a hotbed for wrestling.
You may not get sold out.
Yeah, you may not get that crowd in Lincoln, Nebraska. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. No disrespect to our peoples in Nebraska. I'm just putting that out there, like, you know, or yes. Duluth, Minnesota. You know,
Duluth.
Yeah, right. But I'm just saying, like, Vince had the corner on the Northeast anyway after he took over Daddy's territory, you know.
And that's the other thing too. Like, and it's great. There's some great research out there if you're really kind of looking for it. Like, they had a lot of places that had, you know, the houses, and like I said, they were drawing $100,000 gates with, you know, Steamboat and Savage, you know, on top. Like, and to me, that's big stuff. And they were running three shows a night, you know, some weekends.
Yes, because I believe, if I'm not mistaken, there was an A house show, a B house show, and a C house show.
Depending on which area you wrestled in. Correct.
But the C house shows were also generating a lot of fans, even if the champion was not on that show.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, because
like, sometimes they would...
Go ahead, Chop.
They would main event with, like, guys, say, for example, like
Junkyard Dog,
JYD versus like Harley Race,
or Andre,
Correct. So this, like, we don't get that nowadays. Now it's just basically you have to have the world champion all the time.
Yeah.
But like in that era, all you needed was the tag team champions or the fucking Intercontinental champion, and that was it.
Yeah. And I think, like you said, that is something that I at least. I took it to somewhat of account, I want to say, for, you know, for what the way I went. So, and like I said, I'm new to this. So, like, with the fantasy warfare, I kind of, like, took this and ran. I was like, oh, yeah. You know, Steamboat goes over with Honky in June and keeps the belt, you know, for a little bit. So, I'm really detailed with some stuff. It's actually – I started making myself laugh towards the end. I was just like, all right. This might be too much, but...
All right, so, like I said, Honky Tonk Man has made his rounds the last several years. We all know his story. He's Jerry Lawler's cousin, started in Memphis, was a mid-carder at best, okay? Nothing really fancy about him. He wasn't a terrible worker, per se, but not somebody I would put a fucking title on. That's just me being bitter, right?
Mm-hmm.
And being a decent wrestling fan, because any decent wrestling promoter wouldn't put a fucking belt on him, but... There was a couple reasons. Now, if you listen to this fucking tool bag talk, a couple of years ago he was on a radio show, and he claims, okay, the IC title run came when Butch Reed failed to come to a show. So apparently Butch Reed was supposed to be the natural Butch Reed, was supposed to be the IC champion, okay? And then Vince gave it to Honky instead. Now, I don't know how true this is. This is Honky Tonk Man we're talking about.
I believe so now. You know, I did a lot of research on Butch Reed when we had a Butch Reed episode. he was on that bill. He didn't no show that show. He was
correct.
There.
Correct.
He was underneath.
Correct. So now I'm like, okay, this guy's full of shit, right?
Yes.
Now he's full of shit. He's a piece of shit. Okay, and his. His 64-week run as IC champion was probably shit. Now, you want to go with saying he's the greatest of all time? that old gag. You guys can
great
fucking
gimmick.
Yeah,
good gimmick.
Great gimmick. Just a fucking terrible way to fucking put someone.
Johnny Wizards Tony would actually disagree with you because he loves the Honky Tonk Man.
Tony can disagree all he wants. That's his prerogative. I think he's trash. Okay.
Now, you mean Tony from the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast?
Yeah, that's right. T-Plug every Monday night, 7 p.m. on The Rant. Those fucking guys. Anyway, is he the greatest because he's 64-week champion? No. I wanted to book Butch Reed as the IC champ because, again, we did the whole thing with Butch Reed a couple months ago. And I was like, no. No, I'm gonna stick with my running. Because I was at SummerSlam when he lost it.
Well, okay. so like I was telling you, I booked something where I was like, oh, Butch Reed's in, and then it was gonna be a flip flop between him and Steamboat, and I just go, and I kind of just like talked myself out of it. I said, wait, why not give? All right, so not to give too much of that,
start it up.
Well, it goes obviously Steamboat. Well, I don't think we should undermine the feud between Savage and Steamboat. That lasted, it was what, every bit of 7 months, 8 months at that point, like give or take, mm-hmm. towards the end of 86 going into 87.
87, you mean going to 88?
No.
Oh, 86, 86, right, okay.
86 into 87. Gotcha. Where Steamboat loses his voice, you know, gets hit on top of the guardrail, you know, fights back to try to, you know, he starts to speak again. He learns how to speak again. And it was great business, and, you know, above all else, and arguably could be one of the greatest matches we have ever seen. So Steamboat wins WrestleMania 3. And like I said, he goes on from there. And like I said, I don't know how folklore goes when he was asking for time off, if whether it was before WrestleMania 3 or after. So I think that part's a little bit lost on me.
But you have three. So he held the belt basically for 3 months.
Exactly. So right. Like I said, he goes. So after WrestleMania, he goes to, you know, Saturday Night's Main Event in May of 97, and he defeats Hercules by, you know, DQ or what have you. And not a deciding victory for an IC champion, but on the house shows, he's going up and down the loop with Savage. And a lot of them are cage matches, which is clearly evident of the B show, where, and like I said, going to Uniondale, you know, what have you, like drawing 15,000 people to a house show, that's, you're talking good business at this point. So you know, like I said, so then I was just kind of chronicling. So then I went to where he lost the match to Honky Tonk. Obviously, come that Superstars taping, he has to win. So obviously he wins. He Honky Tonk has come in. I think he's been in the company what now? Maybe about a year, Honky Tonk Man, in 87?
Give or take.
Yeah. And so, you know, but it was funny. They did a bunch of tapings that night for a bunch of Superstar stuff. And they did something for a Coliseum video. And I believe it was Hogan and – ooh, I forget. It was Hogan and I want to say Savage, perhaps, against Kamala and Honky Tonk. And Honky Tonk was the IC champion at this point. I changed it a little bit. So now – with Steamboat going over on Honky Tonk, I have Hogan and Steamboat against going against Kamala and Honky Tonk Man, where I think that now you're giving Steamboat a huge rub teaming with Hogan, which obviously has never happened, never would have happened at this point. But if you're putting the machine behind Steamboat after the WrestleMania 3 run, like, why not put him with Hogan and see what can happen? That was my idea about that.
Okay. That was your run?
No, oh, no, no, no. Oh, you want me to go full bore? I was just talking about from taping. So then going on from there, like I said, he goes through the loop. He starts, you know, through the summer, he's you know, going against guys like Honky, Nikolai Volkov, Danny Davis, and then, you know, even like on house shows, going up against Butch Reed, Ted DiBiase. But now at this point, come the summer, at the end of the summer, Bam Bam Bigelow is here, and he's coming in as a monster heel. And then come October, Saturday Night's Main Event, I have him going against Bam Bam. And, you know, I'm talking about a roll-up victory or something with, because you want to keep Bam Bam as a monster heel. So, because I love Bam Bam Bigelow, by the way. And, but, who doesn't? You know, he's coming in 1987, and he came in with a lot of hype. So, obviously, you have to build him up as well. And so, like, you know, Steamboat going in, you know, roll-up victory, you know, maybe perhaps, you know, a few house show things here and there. But there was this interesting event that I never even knew it happened. It was a Legends Battle Royal in November of 87. I didn't even know about this. And actually, this match happened on the show, and I would keep it as is. But just, you know, the thing is, you keep it for the IC belt, DiBiase against Steamboat. Steamboat already, you know, they were already, it happened, but you would just reverse the decision, you know, have Steamboat go over. Maybe, you know, another fluke victory perhaps, because, you know, baby faces always somehow pull out in the end. But like I said, at this point, DiBiase, it gives him enough time in October to still have a charge for WrestleMania 4, which, you know, is where he was headed towards. So then I fast forward to Survivor Series. I think the match stays the same. Savage's team, Randy Savage, Steamboat, Jake Roberts, Jim Duggan, Brutus Beefcake, you know, against, what was it, the Honky Tonk Man's, you know, Harley Race, Ron Bass, Hercules, Danny Davis, and Honky Tonk Man. I think it stays the same. I don't think you have to change anything other than the belt. The belt staying on Ricky Steamboat. And it's the idea of keeping Savage and Steamboat on the same team. Obviously, you know, Steamboat stole the, you know, took the belt from him months earlier. So, you know, I kind of enjoyed it. But then that led me into the Saturday Night's Main Event at the end of November, where Steamboat is, I would put him in a team with Savage, you know, against DiBiase and the incoming Rick Rude. And that's where, to me, I think it opens up a little bit. So, and I liked the whole Rick Rude against Ricky Steamboat thing, because they never had a bad match ever together, right? I mean, I'm not the only one that ever thinks this, right?
Yeah, to me, my favorite is 30-minute.
The Iron Man match from Beach Blast.
Yes,
exactly.
92, right, Chop? I think it was 92.
Beach Blast 92, yes.
You know, and, you know, there was a Saturday Night's Main Event in there that it didn't have IC belt in there, so I kind of just went past that. I actually kept Steamboat against Rude in Royal Rumble 88. I liked it. I think the match was great. I would have kept the match the same exact same. I love the ending of that match. You know, and it builds up Rick Rude. He stays in the company for a little bit longer. You know, to me, I really enjoyed at this point. Like I said, now I'm, this is where I said I went a little bit overboard. I kind of thought a little bit into it, but I like the idea of Steamboat being the longest IC champion at this point. And, you know, I put him Saturday Night's Main Event at March 7 before Mania 4. I put him in a match against the natural Butch Reed. But what I do is I put Honky Tonk back out, start, you know, at this point, I want Honky Tonk to start coming up as a heel, cutting them down as a, you know, in promos and everything and interviews, and start interviewing and, you know, start intervening in his matches. Then come WrestleMania 4, Honky Tonk Man against Steamboat, you know, because at that point, I think WrestleMania 4 was Honky against Brutus Beefcake, correct? And I think Honky won through DQ. I would keep that the same. I would have that, and then come the following Saturday Night's Main Event, that's when Steamboat loses the belt to Honky Tonk Man. Same kind of stuff, but the referee doesn't catch Jimmy Hart interfering in the match, and thus would have Steamboat as a 13-month champion. I think it would be, I don't know, something around 56 weeks or something like that, which he would still be the longest standing IC champ.
So in essence, you're just flipping it. You're making him the longest reigning champion and then having Honky Tonk drop it to Warrior at SummerSlam 88.
So now here's my thought process on that is you are not stopping that train that is the Ultimate Warrior.
Right.
The Ultimate Warrior came in at the end of 87 just super hot. And to me,
it's super hot. I must admit, yes.
But to me, and that's what I was saying, I wanted to push Steamboat longer. But as I really thought about it, I pulled it back a lot more longer. I pulled it a lot back shorter. Because to me, you cannot deny what Warrior was doing at that point. And there's no way that Vince is not getting behind Ultimate Warrior and then to continue as he was. So to me, I'm just flip-flopping Steamboat for Honky Tonk for the longest reigning champ.
I got it.
And like I said, I mean, I might have went a little too, you know, in depth, but I really enjoyed that. Like, to me, it was the idea of using Bam Bam coming in as a monster heel and then establishing Steamboat as a really come from the bottom babyface and like just like keep stuff like that. I had other stuff like Ron Bass, like, and everything. I kind of just like condensed it a little bit, but it was one of the most fun things I've ever done in my life. Like, at least for this show, like, I was like, oh, I could do this. And then it kept going back. It was like a typewriter.
Right.
It was like, I'm going to go keep going back. But, like, to me, it's like you said, you narrowed it down. Essentially, I'm just flip-flopping Steamboat for Honky Tonk.
It's brilliant.
Because to me, that's where the story is made. Because Vince wasn't doing Steamboat against Ultimate Warrior. There was no way Babyface was going
to be. No, a heel had to be IC champion. So,
yeah. And generally speaking, for the most part at least, the heels were always – quote unquote paper champions. They were just transition guys.
How dare you call the Macho Man a paper champion? You're a dick.
No, I was talking about guys like Iron Sheik.
Well, Savage had the belt for a year at that point.
Oh
yeah.
He won it in February of 86.
Correct. Yes. Yes. But I'm just talking about guys like Ivan Koloff who, you know, would just pass
Ivan Koloff, Stan Stasiak. I got it. No, I got you. Iron Sheik was a transitional champion.
About, like,
I got
stuff it. Like guys like that.
I got it. I got you. I got you.
But like I said, to me, you know, I think it worked out for the better in a sense. But Steamboat could have done so much more, I think, in that era at least. But like I said, imagine he would have stayed with the company. Imagine, they didn't have Richie Steamboat, like their first child or what have you. And by the way, looking up Ricky Steamboat's thing, him and Ric Flair really do have like a complete and utter competition. Steamboat's been married 5 times. Flair's been married 4 times. Hilarious.
Awesome.
Fucking hilarious stuff. But yeah, that's exactly how I would do it. I would just flip-flop Honky Tonk for Steamboat and then – keep everything as it is.
Very good. The best part about this whole thing is like, there's no right or wrong. It's just, you know, it's all good. So
yeah,
Chop. How about you, buddy? What do you got?
Somewhat similar to Jay, where I have obviously Steamboat winning the belt off of Macho Man at WrestleMania 3, and then Steamboat starts feuding with the Macho Man for the next 3 more months. Macho Man trying to gain the title again. But as you guys remember, back at WrestleMania 3, Macho Man was getting really heavily cheered during that match as well. So I positioned these next few matches to where Ricky the Dragon Steamboat is still the uber babyface heel, but I'm also positioning Macho Man as the next rising babyface heel. Rising babyface, sorry. So basically – They wrestle for the next 3 months on their last and final match. It's a cage match where, they fight to a really competitive contest to where Ricky still ends up winning the match. He's the first, he goes over the blue cage, drops down. He's the first one to hit the floor. And Macho Man is like, it's almost kind of like the scenario of Orndorff and Hulk Hogan, where we were trying to figure out who hit, but it was so close that Ricky still hit, his feet still hit before the match. Mm-hmm. So what happens is fans are clapping, giving the guys a standing ovation. It's a great match, obviously. And who runs in to start to set up a new feud? The Natural Butch Reed. He starts jumping on fucking on Ricky Steamboat. Macho Man sees this shit. He's like, what the fuck are you doing? He looks at the Natural's like, come on, man, help me. And, Macho Man said, fuck this shit. And he starts wailing on fucking on Butch Reed, pretty much establishing himself as the new babyface.
Yes.
And Ricky Steamboat, once he sees that he helped, Macho Man helped him, he's looking at him like, are we going to go to blows? Macho Man extends the hand for a handshake to Ricky Steamboat. And officially passes the torch on to Steamboat as like the next Intercontinental Champion. And that sets off Macho Man going elsewhere towards 88 and Ricky Steamboat going up against the Natural Butch Reed for the next 6 month period. That's 6 months. So from March until June, Macho Man and him are feuding. So then we go from June, 6 months later on. So we're talking, what's that? That's July, August, September, October, November, December, January. So January, they're feuding for until January, where we're already at Royal Rumble 1988. Think about this for a second. In those 6 months, we have the Natural teaming up with Jake the Snake Roberts, Mid-South Boys. Mid-South Boys going up against Ricky the Dragon Steamboat and Macho Man Randy Savage as tag team partners.
Mm-hmm. That's
a different dichotomy right there. You've never seen these guys. We've seen these guys going up and trying to kill each other for the IC belt. And now they're teaming against a common enemy right there. So they fight. Jake the Snake and Macho Man go on to feud with each other. And then we go to see the Ricky Dragon Steamboat with Natural Butch Reed. Their feud ends at Royal Rumble 88. This is where I come in. And this is where I agree with Jay. Honky Tonk Man eventually takes the belt off of Steamboat in 88. But I would do it a little earlier. Jay, I think you said around June you're giving this up?
I said after Mania, yeah. Right after Mania.
I say he gets it at right after Royal Rumble 88.
Because all right.
You got to keep in mind, the Honky Tonk Man is so fucking hated. I hate the motherfucker. Phil hates the motherfucker. Jay hates the motherfucker. Everyone and their mother hates that motherfucker. So why not put the belt on him even though he's a fucking horrible worker? He holds on to that belt until the rest of the year. Ricky the Dragon Steamboat goes off into the sunset to go be with his nagging wife, who's a fucking pain in the ass for ruining his fucking career. She's my fuck you wrestler of the week, by the way.
Bonnie Steamboat?
Yes. She ruined that man's career, just like those women are ruining these other wrestlers' careers. And that's my fantasy booking right there.
Yeah. But it's funny because, like I said, so we were good to like kayfabe each other, like we're not even telling anybody, like I said, and we had the same idea, like I said, Savage and Steamboat teaming together after their feud just makes perfect sense.
Brilliant,
and the fact that they didn't really do it other than Survivor Series is kind of funny, so. I like it. I like that as well. Go ahead, Big Phil.
All right, so let's go back to the Superstars taping, okay? Where Honky Tonk Man's about to get the I hope my mom ain't listening because I'm gonna piss off my mom. I'm taking Steamboat off TV. Taking him off TV. Like
what?
I'm giving him his request. I'm taking him off TV, and I'll tell you why. There are two guys, in my opinion, that should have been Intercontinental Champion that never were. And I'm going to tell you how this is all going to go down.
I already know one guy.
Okay, you know what I'm talking about. Okay, so, yes. So, and this is not Butch Reed or Bam Bam. Even though they're
I'm wrong. Then forget it. I'm wrong.
No, you're not. Well, no, yeah, because I knew you thought I was going to do that, but here's two guys that let me show you.
Yeah,
Honky Tonk Man's bragging about the title match. he's got a title match. Let's pretend that he's Jimmy Hart is all excited. They're backstage with Sean Mooney and they're bragging. But you know, guys, everybody's got a price. Everybody's got a price. So in comes Ted DiBiase with Virgil with the fucking duffel, the WWF duffel bag, the yellow and blue duffel bag. And he goes, listen, guys, if I can squeeze into that match, I can make it worth your while. And, you know, Honky Tonk Man being a fucking redneck with no money, dressing like Elvis, it's a no-brainer. He takes the money. DiBiase beat Steamboat for the title.
For the title,
okay?
Wow.
So now, listen, $1 million belt all you want. Now he's the IC champion.
And he's a fantastic worker.
Oh, boy. He takes that title everywhere, right? You fast forward to, like, December, okay? Oof. Saturday night's main event. He's in a tag team match. It's him and Virgil against fucking either way, he's in a tag team match with it's him and Virgil against Butch Reed, who's now a face.
Okay.
And because he dropped Slick and a mystery partner is Jake the Snake Roberts. Okay. They have a fight. So now the face team goes over. Jake is back in the company. He wins the fucking IC title from DiBiase.
Oh, no.
Okay? And goes on a fucking tear. He goes on a tear. He fucking beats Savage. The count out, disqualification. He feuds with DiBiase. He feuds with Savage. Brutus the Barber Beefcake is now a player. Okay? Beefcake becomes the primary fucking feud going into the summer of 88, I'm sorry. Okay? So now he beats everybody, DiBiase. He even gets world title matches as IC champion.
Mm.
So right? So him and Hogan are having matches. Okay, even though they were anyway, but now it's title for title and Madison Square Garden, the Spectrum, whatever. Beefcake now is about to fight is Jake the Snake Roberts at SummerSlam, but of course he decides to go parasailing and smash his fucking face. Right?
Correct.
And in storyline, Ron Bass injures Beefcake.
Beefcake, okay.
Okay, but now you beat him with a magnet. You got a faceplate now and all the whole nine yards. So now Jake the Snake Roberts is running roughshod with this IC title.
Now, quick question. Is Jake a heel now or a babyface?
He's a heel.
He's a heel, okay.
He's a heel.
Because
he turns on Butch Reed in the tag match, and he's back to his old ways, and there's no one that can beat him. No one that can beat him at this point. Rick Rude's still new. Bam Bam's still new to this point, right? But he gets... Now, he's supposed to fight Beefcake at SummerSlam.
No opponent now.
Now, here's Phil sitting nine rows from ringside. And Jake gets on a mic. And listen, I've never heard Jake cut a promo live, but can you imagine him at SummerSlam on a pay-per-view?
Oof.
Just grabbing a mic. You got to understand something. Madison Square Garden... 1988, the roof was cracking. That's how loud it was in there. And I'm comparing it to Ranger playoff games and WrestleMania, okay? The crowd was electric, okay? And Jake's like, I've beat everybody. Beefcake's not even showing up. You know, and he cuts his diabolical promo, and he's got the bag, and he's just killing it. And all of a sudden, the Warrior's music hits. Here comes the Warrior, beats Jake the Snake Roberts, and now I get my fill of putting the belt on two guys I wanted to have, and then giving Warrior the push he rightfully deserved at that point because he was the hot thing in the company and whatever. Now, there's a whole bunch of ways you can go with that afterwards. I didn't go that far.
Yeah, I same here. I'm going to just – not that I'm poking holes, but I just – so then DiBiase is the champion through WrestleMania 4.
Yes.
So then to me
– Savage still wins the title. Savage wins the title after Hogan. They have the title for title.
But who does he face? Who does he face at
– in the finals?
Yeah.
Well, Butch Reed. Could be anybody. Could be Butch Reed. Could be Bam Bam. Could
probably
be
Butch Reed.
Could be Andre. Let's say Andre beats Hogan in the first round.
Yeah.
And Andre goes to the finals. He beats Andre. Like Hogan beat Andre.
Yeah, he could have passed.
I can see Savage. You know,
very good point.
But Savage wins. Him and DiBiase still have the matches. Cage matches, title for title, the whole nine yards. And then Jake.
Like I said, what I like about that is that Jake gets the belt. What I don't like about that is that Jake loses in 28 seconds. it may not be that. But you know what I'm saying?
But think about the he comes in as a face, turns on Butch Reed, goes heel,
yes,
beats DiBiase for the title, who paid off Honky Tonk Man, and then he goes on his and then he comes Beefcake out of nowhere and then gets a fucking faceplate for his troubles.
Yeah.
And then boom, there you go. And now the Warrior comes in and then you start the Warrior run.
Well, because like I said, because there was no denying the Warrior run. Like there's no matter what we want to put there, 88 Warriors getting the belt. There's no doubt about it, which is, I think we all agree on that, like, which is good.
It's like what you said, Jay. There's no way you could deny the Warriors success from 87 all the way into 88.
Yeah.
Nope.
The guy was just a fucking monster. I mean, like, as a child, like, I love Macho Man. But then you saw the Warrior. I forgot who I was telling this to online, but the Warrior looked like he was pulled straight out of a He-Man cartoon. Forget comics. He looked like a He-Man character. Like, you look at him like, holy shit, that guy could be He-Man right there, you know?
Yeah.
And that's what I loved about the Warrior. The Warrior looked like a fucking superhuman, superhero character that, yes, he – well, to me, at that time, I didn't know what the fuck a good wrestling match was. I was a child, you know?
Yeah. But what I do love is, Phil, like you said, like, you know, the Million Dollar Man coming in and just essentially doing what he's supposed to do. He buys the championship, per se. Like, and that holds true to – his character, and like I said, he can keep going forward, and you could tell that story even past WrestleMania 4. Like I said, you could take him out of that thing. I didn't even think of it.
You could still take the belt off of Hogan in that fucking in the Dave Hebner thing, right?
Yeah.
But instead of Andre giving it to DiBiase, he wants to keep it for himself, and then he goes.
Andre holds on to it.
Andre, well, no, they take it away from him, but. Andre says, no, I want the belt, and then he goes face. So, but the belt on the Tate Tunney still takes the belt and puts it in the tournament. And puts it in the tournament.
Yeah.
So you could But and then DiBiase is still the IC champion until Jake beats him. So the belt was the workhorse. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Like you can't deny the history of the title.
There's a few things I wanted to bring up, which I was amazed at, and you know, like come, I think it was like, you know, it was January 87 or something like that. Like these guys are drawing houses. You know, you're talking about Tacoma, Washington in January, 20,000 people there, you know, $209,000. Like, and then the same night, in Santa Barbara, this is a three show night. Santa Barbara, there's 983 people there, and then Miami, Florida, there's 1,500 people there, and you know, Tito Santana is like, oh, you know, he's headlining one night, you know, Hogan's beating Kamala, of course, at the Big Gate in Washington. Like, there was so much going on at this juncture. It was just. It's almost almost impossible to kind of, like you were saying, like there's no wrong answer. Like you can literally just put anybody in there.
I mean, the older you get, the more you realize that the mid-card guys could fucking wrestle anybody.
Yeah.
The Santanas of the world, the Steamboats, the Perfects, the Rudes, the Bigelows, the, you know, before Savage was a world champ, the Savages of the world, you know, Butch Reed, you know, all those dudes were headlining because of how they booked stuff back then. So, you know, when you had that title, you were the number one contender for the world title, right?
Yeah.
But it didn't always seem that way because, you know, they wouldn't put a face versus a face. So if a face guy had the ice title, you never saw him fight the world champion. However, it would have made for good programming, good booking, if you will. But back in the day, it wouldn't have, actually, I should say, because of the way pro wrestling was structured back then. You know, they were emphasizing on the end of, that was the start of the entertainment value of it for Vince anyway. I mean, in NWA, it happened all the time. In WCW, you had guys fighting guys, you know, on house shows because either they didn't make the trips or, you know, they didn't have enough guys. You know, because again, this was still territory days. Guys were still floating.
And like you were saying, like, because you had guys like the Ron Basses and, you know, Butch Reed, who came in late 86, early 87 to WWF.
And they brought Duggan in, they brought fucking Dick Slater
DiBiase.
In. DiBiase. Yeah. Right, yeah.
You know, so, like, these guys were part of the territory system, and Steamboat as well. Like, Steamboat came from the Carolinas, you know, at that point. Like I said, my thought process on Fantasy Book and Steamboat was I looked at SummerSlam 88. I looked at from there, and I just go, how do I work backwards? Because you are not denying the Ultimate Warrior his run with the belt. Let alone if I agree with it or not. You know, personally, looking back on it now, looking at it from the business, yeah, obviously that was good for the business. That was, you know, at least at that time, but it wouldn't have been what I would have done. Like, there's so much more that you could have done better, you know.
Yeah.
Especially with the crowd, like you said, the Jake Roberts, the DiBiases. You know, you had so much better talent, but Warrior was so over at that point. There's no way at SummerSlam 88 he's not getting that belt.
Yeah,
hands down.
You know, it's like it had to come to him. I just, you know. And I was giving Beefcake the rub, and then I thought about it. I'm like, you know what? Fuck Steamboat. Fuck Beefcake. You know, no disrespect. I mean, he wasn't great anyway. But he was next in line for that title.
Mm-hmm.
Think about the tragedy that would have been if he would have beat Honky Tonk Man for the title, not the Warrior.
Oof. Wow, right? Imagine.
Think about that, because now it's like, okay, so now it was, maybe they didn't want to give the belt to the Warrior. They were giving it to Beefcake, but he got hurt. He got the fucking the parasail accident, right?
Yeah.
Can you imagine if they didn't give it to Warrior? Not to say Warrior wouldn't have gotten to where he would have gotten to been. But now you would have had it like Rick Rude would have had to beat him, and then he would, you know what I'm saying? It would have been like a big thing. Would have been like, ugh. At that point, you're almost done with the year, and you're moving into next year already. So it's like, it would fuck up Survivor Series. It's like, come on, man.
You know? That was one of the most interesting things to read about it was seeing about the house shows, like how they were booking everything. Like, excuse me. Then they would tell you when they would film for Saturday Night's Main Event or whatever. Like, they would film it like 2-3 weeks prior.
Of course.
And like I said, after you know, I think they filmed Honky Tonk winning over Steamboat, like that. I think they filmed that in May or something.
Right,
like
because it was like ECW taping. One card was 4 weeks of programming.
Yeah. So then, like for weeks after that, like Steamboat was still coming out as the IC champ and all that, like, you know, all that stuff. So like to me, I thought it would just be for the Savage and Steamboat feud, and you guys can disagree. I thought, obviously, the climax at WrestleMania 3 worked because Steamboat came back, learned how to speak, blah, 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 whatever. But, like, Steamboat earned that title. Yeah. Oh, that could be a new a new voice.
You gotta get speech. You gotta get speech therapy. That was hysterical. What a!
But that's what I'm saying. Like,
exactly.
But like I said, like something like that. Like to me, they were putting the juice. They were putting the juice behind Steamboat. Clearly, it was.
Why not?
It was evident. Well, yeah,
one of the best workers ever, man. What are you talking about?
And like I said, to me, I just, it was in my eyes. It took me a long time to, you know, when I was thinking about it, I was just like, oh, just flip flop, Honky Tonk and Steamboat. That's it. Steamboat's got the longest IC champ run. That's it. And but
I'm sorry, Jay. Finish your point.
But yeah, like I said, to me, I as soon as I was sinking it into this, I was looking at the table. I was just like, oh, I'm all in on this. Like I'm just like literally typing. She looked at me. She was like, you're like a hipster over there. Like you're talking about like the natural.
Well, you got stuff. The fucking face for it. You need a messenger bag.
All I need is a bro. What do they call that? A merce. All I need is a merce right now.
And what you need to do? You need to go to your local thrift store and get all your clothing from there too.
Yeah.
Your penny loafers,
your moccasins, you fuck. Anyway,
you know what you can't get there is a Shining Wizards.
Oh no, they're shilling their fucking shirts on this thread too. These motherfuckers, like they don't. Anyway, these fucking jerk offs. Anyway,
listen, that was big. I'm telling you, dude, that was a great. This was a lot of fun to do. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, we do come up with some good stuff sometimes, even though our equipment's terrible. Well, mine is anyway. Can't speak for y'all. Anyway, can't wait to go back together. We have real fucking equipment.
You ain't kidding.
Anyway, any closing thoughts before we head out of here?
No. Anything? I'm tired. I want to go to sleep.
Jay's at work tomorrow. All right, yeah. So we're going to play the music and get the hell out of here?
Yes, please.
All right. So, guys, I apologize for the beginning of this. I have a lot of editing to do now. So I'll piece it all together and make an episode out of it, I promise. Thank you, everybody, for being patient. Thanks for everybody who reached out because there was nothing on the fucking. It was like dead air at that point. You guys have no social media gimmicks: Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Hit up Choppy; he's very active on the Twitter machine lately. And
I had Zach Ryder.
Yeah,
I had a Francine like my shit. She constantly talked to me.
Yeah, she did. She did.
And there's a couple other people. Carrying Cross like my shit. To
yeah, involve. Look at you. You're a fucking champion.
And I have somebody following me now.
I know. We'll keep it on the hush.
Yeah.
We got the 8th anniversary show coming up on July 10th. Patreon, Pro Wrestling Tees. You guys know all the gimmicks. Email. I mean, we're very accessible. We have a cool show for you next week, by the way. It's going to be fun.
Yeah.
I know, Jay, you're not a dad yet, but you're kind of like a dad. But Choppy, you're a dad. Happy Father's Day. On Sunday.
Happy Father's Day to you fellas.
Happy Father's Day to everybody who celebrates. Yes, even in single moms out there who's got to be dads too. it's a rough job, I can tell you that. And I think that's it, man. We'll see you guys next week. Same bad time, same bad channel.
All
right?
Yeah. But all we ask people, everyone out there, whether you're a wrestler or not, put your hands where my eyes can see. Okay? Please.
Say goodnight, Gracie.
Goodnight, Gracie.